You turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke 7, found on page 1027. Luke 7, we're going to start at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears, and wiped them with the hair on her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Yes, say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. "Now which of them will love him more?" Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say amongst themselves, "Who is this, who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." I know a woman named Emily who has had quite a life. When she was 5 years old, her mother disowned her and her siblings, and they were raised for a couple years by an aunt and an uncle. When she was 7, her mother allowed all her brothers and sisters to move back home except for her. She had to stay with her aunt and uncle. She had a rough childhood, growing up with the realization that she wasn't wanted at home, and she really wasn't wanted by her aunt and uncle. In fact, when she was 7, her aunt and uncle made her earn some of her keep by tap dancing at a local neighborhood bar. Emily went through her whole life never really knowing her mother. When Emily was about 35, she heard that her mother was in a hospital and that she was dying of cancer. She went to visit her mother, but her mother wouldn't even look at her. She just turned away and looked at the window. But Emily continued to go back one day, 2 days, 3 days, sitting there in silence while her mother turned away. But finally, the day came when her mother started crying and asked her why she continued to come back. And Emily told her, "It's because I love Jesus." Emily then told her mom that she forgave her for everything that she had done to her. And then her mother started crying uncontrollably. Emily's mother asked her how it was possible that she could forgive her given everything that she had done. And Emily said to her, "I love you because Jesus loves me." Her mother died 3 days later, but not before accepting Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. Now, this story means a lot to me because Emily is my mom. And that was my grandmother, who I've never met, who gave her life to the Lord 3 days before she died. What made that kind of forgiveness possible? I marvel at it myself. I don't know if I could have done it. But I think my mom said it the best when she said it's because of Jesus. Because Jesus loved me, because Jesus forgave me. That's what enabled me to forgive my own mother. In our text this morning, we also see a beautiful picture of another woman who experienced the love of Christ, experienced Christ's forgiveness. And as a result, we see a change in her. We see her expressing that gratitude for that gift in such an amazing way. Now let me set up the story. Jesus likely had been preaching in the synagogue in this town, and the Pharisee there named Simon invites him to come over for dinner. That's often what people did. That was the custom. If a visiting rabbi came, then you would invite that rabbi home for dinner, kind of like you would do for a guest minister. Whether the Pharisee was doing this out of obligation, or he did it because he wanted to learn more about who Jesus was and what Jesus taught, we're really not told. But I think when you look at the clues of the story, I think it's kind of clear that Simon really didn't care for Jesus. Clearly, it was out of obligation. We also, we know this, I think, because of what Simon failed to do for Jesus. And Jesus mentions this at the end of this story. He didn't greet him with a kiss. He didn't wash his feet. He didn't anoint his head with oil. Things that you would do for the honored guest. Again, because Simon really doesn't think much of Jesus. When people ate a meal back then, they didn't usually sit at a table like we do today, but they reclined at this low table with laying on the ground almost, with their feet away from the table and probably propped on one elbow, and that's how they would eat. While they were eating, this woman comes to Simon's house. And this seems strange to us, but there was a custom back then that those who were from the community, those who were poor and who didn't have food, they could go to a feast like this and ask for the scraps that are left over. But this woman wasn't just any beggar. This woman was a prostitute. So you can just imagine how Simon, his mouth fell open when he saw this woman enter his house. Remember, a Jew didn't associate with a sinner like that. To Simon, this woman was scum. This woman was nothing. He normally would probably walk on the other side of the street if he saw her coming down the sidewalk or down the road. And yet this woman was in his house. I'm sure that surprised the other guests that were there as well. But then the woman did the unthinkable. She started to cry, and her tears wet Jesus' feet. And then she unbraided her hair, which no woman would ever do in public, especially back then, and started to wipe Jesus' feet. And for Jesus, a religious leader, to allow a prostitute to touch him, this made Simon probably doubt that Jesus really wasn't a prophet or a teacher. He wasn't what he claimed to be. Because no God-fearing Jew would allow this. And then the icing on the cake was when he allowed this woman to pour that expensive perfume on his feet. John 12 tells us a flask of this kind of perfume, it could have been sold for nearly 300 denarii. She could have sold it and given it to the temple. That would have put it to much better use than just pouring it on the feet of Jesus. This woman probably paid for the perfume out of what she earned as a prostitute, making the gift dirty and defiled. For Simon, he couldn't get past the appearance of this woman. She was a sinful woman. His judgmental attitude, it didn't allow him to see anything but that. That she was a prostitute and not worth his time. Since Jesus could read Simon's thoughts, and he knew exactly what he was thinking, he attempts to help him see through new eyes, to see himself, but also to see this woman, another guest that had entered his house. And so he tells this parable about two debtors. One owed 50 denarii and the other owed 500. Now normally somebody would make about one denarii a day. So that just tells you this was a huge amount. 50 was a huge amount and you'd probably never pay it back. 500, it was unheard of. You'd be in debt for the rest of your life trying to pay that off. Then the most amazing thing happened, Jesus says. The money lender forgave their debt. And so they owed nothing. And so Jesus asked Simon this question, which of these men will love more? In other words, which of these men will be more thankful, have more gratitude for this gift that they've received? And Simon says, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. You can tell by his answer, supposed, that he really didn't want to answer. He knew exactly what Jesus was up to, that he was somehow involved in all this, and he didn't care for it, but he had to give an answer, because Jesus was the rabbi, after all. See, what Jesus was showing Simon was that both he and the woman, they were both debtors. But not debtors to a money lender, but debtors to God. They were in debt because of their sin. And it was a debt that neither one could afford to pay. But God, in his mercy, forgave that debt and gave them a righteousness of his own. Wiped their slate clean so that in God's eyes, it's as if they had never sinned. This is the reason the sinful woman had dared to enter this house, the house of a Pharisee, that she was willing to interrupt this dinner. Even though she knew that she wasn't allowed to be there, she had her eyes on Jesus, and that's the only thing that mattered, was getting to Jesus and thanking him for that gift of salvation. That flask of perfume, that was her very best. Women back then, they often had something like that as what you might think of a nest egg. That would be for maybe if you ever got married, or maybe in her case, for her retirement. It would only grow in value. But she gave Jesus everything. She gave Jesus her best. She poured that perfume all over his feet. And that's why Jesus commends this woman in verse 47. He says, her many sins are forgiven, for she loved much. This woman's love didn't save her. Her love was the fruit of her salvation. That's why I think it's helpful to understand verse 47 with what was already said previously in verse 42. And Jesus' question, now which of them will love him more? I think it's obvious there the answer to that. Who will be more grateful? And that's the idea that carries through this passage. In the Greek language, the idea of thankfulness can also be expressed in the word love. So for Jesus to say which of these debtors will love the money lender more, he's clearly expressing that idea of gratitude, of thankfulness. We see that again in verse 47 when Jesus says her many sins were forgiven for she loved much. Again, follow that through. It's not that her love saved her, but it's her gratitude to Jesus for forgiving her. And as a result of that, she's now responding to his love by in turn loving those around her and allowing that love to flow through her, that gratitude. That love appears to be rooted in the gratitude she feels to Jesus for that gift of salvation. We don't know exactly when she heard the good news, more than likely at a previous time. But clearly, given Jesus' words mentioning her faith, she understood, even in a simple way, that Jesus was the Messiah, the only one who could save her from her sins. Since Jesus says in verse 50 that the woman's faith saved her, this tells us a change has taken place in her life, in her heart. And this is why Jesus says you can now go in peace. Those words, they're empty. Unless somebody is a child of God. To a child of God, to hear the words from God or Jesus, go in peace. Those are powerful. Because only one who has had their sins forgiven can go in peace. Otherwise, that debt remains. And as a result, then they in turn can be conduits of Christ's love. We can be conduits of Christ's love because of what Christ has done for us. See, the Pharisee, on the other hand, he loved little. And Jesus says that because he had been forgiven little. He didn't understand who Jesus was. He couldn't see his total depravity. And as a result, he didn't see the need for a Savior. He thought he could work off those sins on his own by the way he lived his life. And so he saw no reason to thank Jesus. Jesus was only a guest in the Pharisee's house. But for this woman, Jesus was her Savior. Did this woman deserve the forgiveness she received by Jesus? I think the answer is clear, no. But you know what? Neither do we. It's a gift that we can never pay back. You know, we often think of forgiveness in terms of whether somebody deserves it or not. But that's not a biblical definition of forgiveness. In the Bible, it's the complete opposite. It's given to the undeserving. It's given to those who that's the last thing in the world they deserve is to be forgiven. And yet we can forgive because we've been forgiven. We can love others because we have been loved in Jesus. Let me ask all of you this morning, what is your gift for Jesus? What is your most prized possession that you'd be willing to lay at the feet of Jesus to express your thanks for the gift of salvation that you've been given? Is it your wealth? Your career? Your plans for the future? Your dreams? Your reputation? How about your time, your gifts, your talents? Are you willing to break open that gift at Jesus' feet and lay it there for him to take and use for his honor and glory? Are you willing to offer him your life? Because long ago, at creation's first dawn, the Father had his alabaster jar. It gleamed with the beauty of the morning star and was scented with the fragrance of the rose of Sharon. It was his most precious possession. As his omniscient eyes looked down the years that stretched out before him into generation and centuries and ages and millennia, he knew. The father slipped into the darkness of the world he had made and loved. The hands that held the jar with such tender, eternal love relaxed and opened as he placed the jar ever so gently on the small manger bed of hay. During the years that followed, the beauty and the glory of the jar that was shared and admired by those who had the eyes to see. And then with hands that were trembling yet certain, the father once again picked up his alabaster jar on a hill far away from his celestial home, a hill that was cold, barren, and bleak, swarming with the angry mob that was unruly and obscene. The father smashed his alabaster jar on a rugged wooden cross as the contents of flesh and blood poured out. So did the fragrance of his love permeate human history forever, while our tears were on his face. This morning, in light of the gift that you've received in Jesus, who is Christ calling you to love? Who will you offer the fragrance of Christ's love to? Who will you tell the story of Jesus to? Given the love that we've been shown in Christ Jesus, given the forgiveness that is ours, may we go and do likewise and share it with the world around us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross on our behalf, taking away our sin. Father, you taught us what love is all about. You gave us a reason to forgive. Father, if there's any here this morning who has unforgiveness in their heart, who've been holding on to a grudge for way too long, Father, I pray that you will convict. Father, may they be willing to forgive, not because the other person is worthy of it. Lord, may they forgive because of who we are in Christ Jesus. And Father, we just pray that as we stand in your love, that we might stand together as one. May the devil not be allowed to divide us in any way. And our unity, Lord, may it be a witness to the world around us. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I love to